Blog Talk Radio.
They say you're the king of everything, the one who taught the wind to sing, the source of the rhythm my heart keeps beating. And they say you can give the blind their sight, and you can bring the dead to life. You can be the hope my soul's been seeking. I wanna tell you now that I believe it. I wanna tell you now that I believe it. I do, that you can make me.
If you didn't catch the song, it will go along with the topic for tonight's show. You may remember at Christmas the songs we played for you on the show that was performed by the Franklin family. While Bill works with Keith and found out that they don't just have a musical talent, Keith's wife has written songs and is a budding author in the family. The release of Threads of Time moved up the charts with Amazon faster than Bill can eat hot pancakes. Christian romance is a topic that is pretty foreign to Wild Bill, and you could say that romance in general is a foreign topic for him. Well, with that said, that didn't stop us from asking the authors to be a part of our show. What do we mean by authors? Threads of Time is a collection of 7 Christian romantic novellas about a very special quilt passing through time. This quilt was intended to grace the marriage bed of a young couple, but never fulfilling its original purpose. It travels through many hands and decades, lending comfort to its temporary owners before being passed on. A symbol of peace, is by Constance Schilling Stevens. Tattered Hope is by Ralph Vogel. A Night with No Stars is by J. Michelle Franklin, Keith's wife. Mending the Widow's Heart is by Marjorie Varder. A Thread of Hope is by Darlene A. Dodd. Frayed is by Eileen Key. A Patchwork Promise is by K. Marie Leibel. You can download this book on Amazon, and I think there's a hard copy release coming out due to the success of the book already. These writers worked under the support of Kim Vogel Sawyer, which is well known and loved for her books. We probably will not have time tonight, but we'll get them back to talk about their new publishing company. And now, without further ado, here is Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla, and thank you for the introduction on the show. And this is going to be a little bit different tonight. I was already warned by Keith that I needed to be aware that I was going to have a bunch of women trying to talk to me all at the same time, so I was already in no man's land with this show. And I'm just teasing here. I promised Keith I was going to try to do my best to get him in trouble if I could on this show, and I'm trying to hold to that, but I guess I better not because I have to see him at work here in a couple of days. But, yeah, we got all these authors here. From what I understand, there was a couple that wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. And but we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn on Keith's wife's mic right now. I know she went by J. Michelle on the book title, but what do you go by? Are you with me?
Joanna.
Joanna?
Joanna.
Okay.
I go by Joanna. Can you
okay.
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. this is going to be a little different. I know talking on the phone, being on the radio, and I know you're probably a little bit nervous, but I was hoping that you could help us out and kind of to get us started and maybe just, you know, kind of kick off about this book a little bit, and then just you can introduce each person that we're going to have them talk about different sections of the book and just whatever you guys feel comfortable talking about. And then at the end, if we have any questions or comments, we'll open up the mics for that. But I know with this many people, time is going to go pretty fast. So how would you like to kick us off tonight?
Honestly, I don't know. I've thought about, you know, a lot of things, but I was hoping you'd have a question for me.
Okay. Well, why don't you just go ahead and start with the section of the book that you wrote, share what it is, and tell us a little bit about that. Because what we're wanting to do, we're wanting to put some interest out for your book, hopefully get your sales to go up even higher than what they've been, and kind of share some information about, you know, what your section of the book's about.
Well, my story is the third story. They all go in sequential order, and they start right around the Civil War with Connie's story, and then my story comes in the 1890s, and then the last story ends up in the present day. But my story is the third story, and it is about a family. The quilt is in every story, and that's what makes all the stories so unique and the whole book so unique. Is because the quilt shows up in every story, some in more than others. And it just kind of floats around in my story a little bit, but you know it's the same quilt. You know, a lot of people have texted me or emailed me and said it took them a little while to figure out it was the same quilt. But it's about, it's told more from a man's point of view, I think, because he lost his wife. And I'm not going to tell you a whole lot because you said you didn't want us to spoil it. But
we want people to get the book,
wife.
That's for sure. So I just
right.
Maybe you might want to talk also about some of the process where you wrote your part of the book, too.
Okay. Let me go back to the story just a little bit.
Okay.
He loses everything in a fire, and I'm not giving away anything in that, but someone gives his family the quilt, and then it becomes special to his son. And, of course, this is a romance. So the quilt, in my story, kind of helps with the romance and brings romance along, I guess, but I won't say too much more about my story, but he is a storekeeper, and then the heroine in the story is she's the postmistress. And I guess to me, you have to wonder all along if they're really going to make it, and then you'll just have to read it and see if they do.
But now the
process for getting the stories together really came about, you know, everybody was talking, you know, all of us. We call our group the posse, and they were the posse before I came along. I'm the last member to join as of yet, and so we were just talking about it, and I think a couple of them already had an idea that they wanted to do this, and just kind of threw it out there, and then we were all jumping on the bandwagon pretty quick. Yes, this would be so much fun. It was a lot of work. It was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, but it was a learning process for me. And of course, all of the other authors have more published than I do, because this is my first story to be published other than things that are nonfiction. This is my first fiction story to be published. But Connie, who has the first story, is the brainstormer in the group, and she said she could talk a little bit about her brainstorming and when she tells about her story. But she's the big brainstormer behind. I mean, it was like in one afternoon, she threw out ideas for all seven stories. It's like she's just a little brainstorming miracle worker.
Wow.
So,
well, I told you I could do something like that if you had car chases and guns and things like that, but you said that wouldn't really fit into a romance story. So
well,
why don't we go ahead and let Connie come on and say a little bit with us.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Hey,
Connie, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, since you're the brainstormer on this thing, why don't you go ahead and get us kicked off for a bit and tell us about the process, maybe a little bit about the section you wrote.
Well, like Joanna said, we first started kicking around this idea a year ago, and we just kind of came up with a common theme, which was, of course, the quilt. And we decided to have, you know, the quilt created in the first story, and then it's just passed down through many hands and many decades. And actually, at the end of the last story, the quilt is 150 years old, and it's been mended and rebound and patched, and it's, you know, just, you know, really shows its age, but it also shows how much it's been loved. Brainstorming everybody else's story just comes natural to me. You know, all you have to do is throw out an idea, and I start playing my what if game, and I just, you know, kind of come up with an idea. Well, what if so-and-so did this? Or what if you had a character that did that? Or what if something happened? And then I just run with it. You know, they call me the brainstorm queen, and I can brainstorm everybody else's story but my own. You know, my story is the first one in the series, and the heroine in my story made the quilt to go on her marriage bed, and her intended went off to fight in the Civil War, and he never returned. And so she has this quilt that she feels that she cannot use, and at the same time, she feels like she is too insignificant for God to take notice of her. She has grown up in an orphanage, and she has, you know, just kind of being kicked to the curb. And even though she had a mentor in her life who told her how much God loved her and cared for her and that he would never leave her, she still feels like she's not important enough, you know, for God to take notice of her. So when a new directress comes to the children's home, this new woman tells the heroine, whose name is Susanna, tells Susanna that she has to leave, that she has actually overstayed, that she has not supposed to have been at the home past the age of 16, and she deceives Susanna into believing that she owes the children's home, you know, money for the time that she stayed there, you know, past the age of 16. And so she coerces Susanna to take a job, intending to come and collect money from her. And, of course, this is, you know, very fraudulent, but Susanna doesn't know this. And this is how Susanna meets the hero of the story, who is Captain Thomas Rutledge, and he is a riverboat captain. And he's a widower and has two children. And these two little children, Molly and Thad, are very precocious. And the little girl, Molly, is actually the heroine in the second story that was written by Ralph Vogel. And, you know, years have passed, and now Molly is all grown up and married. And she takes the quilt with her when, you know, when she marries and moves away from home. And that's, you know, how the quilt is on its way, on its journey.
That's interesting how you put all together. Also, Connie, where are you located at tonight? Where are you calling us from?
I live about 45 miles northeast of Atlanta.
That's one of the great things about Blog Talk Radio I love, is everybody can be in all these different places. I know that Keith's wife, she's down south from where I'm in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and she's on down in, I think it's called Podunk, Tennessee. No, I'm teasing. It's, I think it's, what is it, Loretta? Is that what it is?
Loretta, yes.
Loretta. Yeah, okay. The posse members are literally spread all over the country, from one coast to the other.
When you get to brainstorming something like this, and as you can guess, I don't read a lot of romance, and as my wife had fun picking at me, that, you know, that's not one of those things that men are just really on their A game with. But what, how much historical background checks do you guys do when you go to writing something like this? You know, because you're talking about going back, you know, a couple of hundred years. Do you really work hard on that sort of thing, or is the romance part of the story what the main emphasis is on?
Well, you would be surprised at how much historical research we have to do. And not just the dates and the facts of like the war between the states and when it ended and how it ended and what impact it had on the citizens and that sort of thing. We even have to research the clothing of the era and what if they wore a scarf or a certain type of hat or a coat, what it was called, because they had different names, you know, for different articles of clothing. Even expressions, you know, verbal expressions that when
like
we
okay.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
You know, they didn't use the word okay. They said all right, but they didn't say okay. And so when we are writing our stories and we exchange chapters back and forth, we email our chapters back and forth, and we critique each other's work, and sometimes one of us will write something and we'll highlight it and tag it and say, I don't think that this was an expression in the 19th century. It sounds too contemporary, or, you know, something like this. So it isn't just the history, facts, and figures that we learned in school. We have to dig a lot deeper. We have to make sure that we're using the correct terms for the architecture and the furnishings and the home and the utensils in the kitchen and, you know, even whatever season of the year that we're writing in. My story is set in southwestern Pennsylvania on the banks of the Ohio River, and I had to make sure that I knew what flowers bloomed in the spring months so that I didn't have, you know, my characters going out and picking tulips, when you know they hadn't bloomed yet, you know, in that part of the country. So we really strive to be accurate, not just historically accurate, but you know, in all of our details.
Well, it sounds like there's a whole lot to it. Everyone I've had on the show that's written a book, they all talk about the editing process, how hard that is. And I've never had anyone that has had so many people involved in work before. Who do you guys suggest that I have on next?
Well, let's see. Do you want to go with you know, with Margie?
Kim.
And yeah, and
Kim
well,
was going to talk about the second story.
Kim was going to talk for her dad. Ralph Vogel wrote the second story, but he was not able to be with us tonight. So, you know, Kim was going to talk for him.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and we'll see if we can get her mic on. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Now, your name is the one out of everyone here that seems to be the one that you have more books that's been written and published than the others, and so I want to thank you for taking the time to be part of our show. And
well, I appreciate being here. I love to be.
I got a question for you that I wanted to ask before you. well, I got a question for you, a little bit different from the others. Before you get into the thing with the book, what pushed you into doing Christian romance? Because there's so many different areas you could go with writing, and I understand a lot of people say, you know, well, there's no place for that. Well, we live in a real world. You know, there's people that romance is missing in everyone's life, and if you think that it's not and they're not going to look for ways to fill that void, you're just not, you know, thinking. I understand the whole thing, but what pushed you and your group into looking, going into that area?
Well, to be honest, I think romance was created by God for a very special purpose. I mean, the greatest love ever given was the love that Jesus had for mankind, to sacrifice himself. And God created marriage, and he created the relationship between a man and a woman, and he wanted it to be beautiful and close and intimate. And so I think when you write a Christian fiction story from that Christian viewpoint, we have an opportunity to show people what God really intended for us. I like to write the kind of stories that will uplift and edify as well as entertain, and Christian fiction gives me that opportunity.
Well, you seem to do a very good job of it, and we, like I say, I want to thank you again for being on the show. Whenever I was talking to Keith, which is really funny, he's amazing how much he's plugged into this through his wife, and he just kept singing your praises about how that,
aww,
you know, you reached out to his wife and everything, and, you know, you accepted her in, and which I've heard with her music, the talent, you know, that she has in the songs she's written, and the way she works on her presentation of songs, and so I know she's been a great asset to the group. But go ahead and share with us a little bit about the sections that where your dad can be here with us tonight, if you would.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry Daddy couldn't be here. He really wanted to. It's kind of amusing to me because when we got the idea to put this compilation together, I really intended to write a portion of it, but my current contract prohibited me from doing that. So I asked the ladies, well, who should we get to replace me? And they all said, let's get your dad. And so Daddy replaced me in the book, and here I am replacing him in the interview. But Daddy's story follows Connie's, and it takes the little girl, Molly, to whom Connie's character gave the quilt, shows her married, she has a little child of her own, and she and her husband are heading out in a wagon to establish a new homestead in Nebraska. And the quilt is their daughter's very favorite possession, and they've hit a lot of, my dad loves history, and he really made that journey. You could just travel with them and see the sights and feel the angst and, you know, the difficulties of leaving everything behind and starting over with absolutely nothing more than a couple of mules and a wagon and, you know, whatever belongings you can put in the back. The story has Indians in it. It has trying to clear the land. It has building a dugout. I mean, he really had a good time creating that time period. And of course, being the lone male of the group, he was a little concerned about getting the romantic side of it right. I have to say he did okay.
Well, that's one of the things where I could say I was teasing around and saying, you know, I could write, make up stories and things. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, the romance part, that's one of those things that, well, there again, men and women think different. We can be trying to agree on something and say it two different ways. So that kind of makes things a little bit more complicated than what it would be, which we all know that that goes back to the garden. You know, that's where the confusion all came in. And then the only thing we may disagree about is whose fault it was. And I like to blame Eve, but, you know, really deep down I realize that Adam was right there during the whole process watching. I don't know what he thought he was doing, but he definitely wasn't taking his leadership role very serious.
Well, I have to tell you, the unique part of Daddy's story, all of the other stories have the heroines that are unmarried. Daddy's is, they're already a married couple, but they're still, you know, a lot of times romance stories end when the couple gets married. Well, romance doesn't end when the couple gets married, and conflict certainly doesn't either. So it was neat to have one story in the compilation where the couple was already married, facing lots and lots of challenges, and how it really challenged their relationship, but how God worked through that to bring them closer than they had been before. So it gives a little bit of a different spin on romance than what the other stories do.
Wow. Now, I understand, and I know we're going to have a lot of time to go into this in detail, but you guys are working on putting together your own publishing company. Am I correct
on
that?
That's exactly right. That's right. When we first started talking about the e-book phenomenon, it's kind of fun how this all came about. We get together every summer for a retreat, and the last time we were together, we got to talking about the e-book phenomenon, how many people were self-publishing now because it's so easy to do the e-books and get them out there. And but we didn't know what company to go through to get this started, and we just decided, hey, why not have our own? And so Wings of Hope Publishing was born, and we do intend to make this a yearly release, a yearly novella compilation being released. We'd like to branch into some other kinds of books as well as time goes by. Right now we're still kind of in the learning side of things. It may take a little bit of time, but we're real excited that the actual print book will be available very, very soon for people who do not have e-readers, so they'll be able to hold the book in their hands and read it, which is actually my favorite thing anyway. when we get together in about a week and a half, we're going to be brainstorming our next compilation, so readers can look forward to a second book releasing probably about in February of next year.
Wow. Now, when this book first released, if I understand right, y'all became one of the top sellers on Amazon when it first released. Is that not correct?
It did very, very well in the Christian romance genre, yes. I mean, it just flew up. It was in the top 100 for, I don't remember how many days. Margie or Darlene might be able to tell you that. I wasn't watching it as closely as they were. But, yes, it was very exciting to see how well it did. And if you go on to Amazon and look at the reviews, readers have really enjoyed this compilation. I am so proud of these writers and how they came together and all did their best. And every voice is unique. It really is a wonderful set of stories. And I'm not just saying that because I love all of the people that are involved with it. As a writer, you know, I'm looking at it differently than just your common reader, and they really are good stories.
Well, it sounds like it. I'm not going to promise anything about reading it, although when I found out that Keith had been interviewed and asked questions on how he responded to things, and then a lot of the male character that was written from his wife has to do with things he would say, I thought, wait a minute, I might need to check this out and see what a romantic Keith is all about, because I've not seen that guy. So
actually, I do have quite a large male readership, and what I hear mostly from the gentlemen is that it gives them ideas on how to be better husbands. So I just don't think it's a bad idea for men to pick up a romance novel now and then.
I hope my wife is not hearing you say that, because I got a funny feeling I'm going to find on my pillow if I'm not careful. So, well, one last question I want to ask you before we go on to our next person. Are y'all going to work with other people who want to submit work or and let them work through your publishing company? Is this strictly going to be just for the posse?
For the moment, it's just for the posse until we really get things well established. Eventually, I would very much like to branch out a bit because this gave Darlene, Jelena, my daughter, and my dad their first publishing experience. And what a delight to be able to be a part of that for a new writer. I would love to be able to do that for some other very worthy writers out there that are waiting for their first chance.
Any advice to people that are thinking about, you know, trying to put things down on paper?
Just do it. You know, I think everybody needs to learn to write one story, but read a lot and just write. Just get it down. You can always tweak it, but you can't tweak it if it's not there. So just get it down.
That's funny. My sister is the reason I started this show. When there's some program that comes up every year where they have an online thing through the month of November where they hold you to a schedule and you write like a short story or a book or something. I know my sister, she does that every year, and she keeps telling me, you need to write something. She says the same thing. You can't do it till you do it, you know. I mean, you can't
That's
critique
right.
it. You know, you just got to put it down. So, well, who do you suggest we go to next?
Let's hit Margie since she's the technical advisor.
Okay. Let's see, Margie. I've got all these numbers from everyone that's called in here. I'm having to dig through. So, Margie, are you with us? And right now, I'm leaving everybody's mics on. So, if anyone has a comment, they can come back in here also. So, I'm sorry, Margie. I didn't mean to interrupt you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Southwest Missouri.
Well, we won't hold that against you. So,
thanks. I'm not really native to here.
Oh, okay.
But
so what would you like to share with us about your part of the story tonight?
Well, I have the story right after Jelena's and right before Darlene's. So I've written at the very end of the 1800s, getting ready to start into a new century. But my main male character is Jelena's teenager in her story, and at the end of her story, he goes out on the itinerant preacher's circuit and begins his experiences as a circuit riding preacher. And in my story, he's looking to settle down. He would like to meet a nice young lady and settle down somewhere, have a church of his own, and just stay in one place for a while. It's about 4 or 5 years later. And then after Jelena's story ends. And then, but he rides into town one day, into this town that's a brand new place for him, and he gets involved with a young man who, little boy, who is a very precocious young man, and he loves to get into trouble. Or actually, he seems to find himself in trouble a lot. And then he meets the little boy's mom, who happens to be a widow, and they strike up a romance going, and he absolutely falls in love with little Paul. And he's probably the only man that's ever been able to control him. And it's a very interesting story as to how they came together, and actually kind of surprised me. But basically, the main theme is the fact that God loves us always, and he never leaves us, and nothing is ever wasted in his economy, even if it does seem like it's been a very difficult time.
That is
as
so
my
true.
Heroine.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
I was going to say, they mentioned something about you were more the technical person with all this, so what were they referring to with that?
Well, I'm a publisher, so I'm the one that's been figuring out how to get things up on Kindle. And Amazon there, and so far we're in the Kindle Select program, so we are unable to digitally publish it anywhere else until July. However, we can put out a print copy, which I'm also researching and working on right now, And we're hoping to be able to have that released through Amazon and CreateSpace by the middle of June.
Wow.
I've been a little busy, so I haven't quite gotten it as to the schedule that we wanted to have it originally. So.
Yeah, that's one of the crazy things that I don't know where you guys get time to do this, because you have other lives besides doing this, and I know for a fact with Keith and his wife, they got 5 children, and so I know they're busy. And I thought, wow, how in the world do you get time to write a book? And it's just it's amazing to me, the whole process of how you go about doing this. Got a question for you. One of the things that, especially people that travel like Keith and I, we both drive trucks, and but audiobooks is one of the things that's really big that we listen to out on the road. Have y'all thought about going into that and having each person read their own part of the book or something? Or
I've thought about it. I don't know about anybody else, but I've thought
I have.
About that.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you guys about that in June.
I love to listen to books on tape when I'm out in the yard working, or if I'm even cleaning house or whatever. I love to listen to books on tape when I'm traveling as well, and it's a good time to do it. So I've always enjoyed doing that. My mom read to us until, oh, goodness, I was still in high school when my mom was reading to my younger sister. So, and I remember sitting down and just listening to her. I loved it. And so I don't mind listening to an audio book at all. But, yes, I've thought about it. I haven't done the research into it that we need to do for that, but I would like to be able to make this available also, each book available also in an audio form.
Yeah, that, I think that would be great. That seems to be, a lot of people don't like to sit and read anymore, although I'm finding all the posts that I was getting when I put you guys' information on my blog page, where there's a whole lot more women reading than what I would have ever dreamed. And one of the things that surprised me was the range of age. I mean, I had comments from people that were in their 70s all the way down to people in their teens, which I was
right.
thinking teenagers probably didn't read a lot of anything anymore. With the computers, but I was shocked.
Yeah. Yes, both my kids are older now, but when they were teenagers, they loved to read, and that was just something that was a very good family occupation. My husband didn't read a whole lot when we first got married, but by the time my two kids got old enough and he was traveling quite a bit, and so now he's a pretty good reader himself. So, yeah, we all love to read. My first grandchild's on his way, and we're hoping that, no, we know, his parents are going to read to him and definitely are going to be moving right along with the tradition that our family has with the reading. So, yes, it's a very big occupation still, at least among us.
Well, I know when me and my sister were growing up, our mother taught us to love to read. We used to go to the library, and I don't remember what the max number of books they would let us have, but we took that every time we went. And then usually before we got back, I would actually be reading her stories, and she would be reading mine. So it was just it's amazing how parents can, cause their children to have a love for reading.
Definitely.
And even in this day and time. So, okay, do you have anything else you feel like you need to add right now? Who do you think the next person is we should have if we should go
Probably
on?
Probably should get Darlene on here. I'm sure she's champing at the bit.
All right. It's so funny. When I was sitting there, we was talking about this. Everybody was like, I was getting all these emails and texts like, what are you going to ask us? This is going to be kind of scary and everything, but really – I told you, it's just like sitting at your kitchen table talking to someone on the phone. This is not, really anything to get upset with. So, but anyway, Darlene, I got your mic on. Can you hear us?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
And where are you calling us from?
I am calling from crazy California.
Oh, wow, the land of fruits and nuts.
Yeah, exactly. I live right near them.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I'm glad
the other
that.
Ladies would say I am one of them, but
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we love her.
Well, Darlene, what do you want to share with us about the section of the book that you wrote?
Well, my story dovetails right off of Margie's. The hero in my story is Paul, who is the precocious little child in Margie's story. The little boy who gets himself into trouble all the time is now grown up. My story starts in the April of 1912, the day the Carpathia arrived in New York after the sinking of the Titanic. And
oh, wow.
Paul is, like I said, he's now grown up. He's attending Columbia University. He wants to be a journalist. And he works for a small newspaper. And the editor of the newspaper gives him the assignment to find a Titanic survivor and interview them. And, of course, he struggles with that because, you know, how do you just walk up to someone who's been through something like that and just, you know, hey, tell me about it, you know? And Shona is the young lady that he meets. She boarded the Titanic in Ireland and is now stranded in New York on her own. Paul's mother has given him the quilt. And one thing that I'm not sure if anybody else mentioned or not, every person in the book who has had the quilt stitches their initials into the corner of the quilt. So as it gets passed down, each person that has it, you know, sees these initials, and they may not, you know, especially they wouldn't know who Connie's people were, you know, the person who first made the quilt. And being a journalist, Paul loves to look at this quilt and wonder who these people were and what their story was. And Shona has escaped from Ireland. Her mother died when she was young. Her father was an alcoholic, abusive. She's illiterate. And she just has a really hard time, you know, believing that God is a God of love and compassion, because that's just not what she has experienced in her life. And Paul has had the opposite experience. And so through interviewing her, he gets to share with her this side of God that she's never seen before, and let her see that he does love and he is compassionate. And that's my story.
Wow. If you just have some Martians from outer space or something, no, I'm just playing. It's I really find it interesting how you keep up with the history where this goes through and everything. And I can't imagine what the process was where you're talking about emailing everything back and forth to edit it. Was there any times during this where someone, you felt like they were changing what you were saying instead of just editing what you had said? Was there anything
not
like that
all.
Happened in the process?
Not at all. Not what? At all. We're all very, and that's, you know, one thing that you learn as a writer too. You know, there's several of us here, and so, you know, I'm sending out my chapters, and I'm getting, you know, five or six critiques back, learning what my voice is and learning to take the critiques. Don't take it personally, because it's not meant that way at all. And any good writer wants those critiques. You want to learn. And I have never felt like anyone was trying to change my voice, or we're all very respectful of each other's styles. We make suggestions to each other, and then it's up to the person if they want to, you know, take those suggestions or not.
Right, I found through life that the only time you don't take someone's suggestion is usually when you're messing up. So it sounds like you guys have already learned that in working together.
Yeah,
did you have anything else you wanted to add? I think we've only got one person left that we haven't spoke to yet.
Well, I know there's two stories left. I don't know if Kim is going to speak for Christian or not, but I think Eileen, our little Texas tornado, is waiting her turn. Her story is right after mine.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get her mic on. Can you hear us?
I can. Thank you so much for having us.
We're out in Texas. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from San Antonio. San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. Well, you're down there where it stays nice and warm, and I think
absolutely.
You guys have had some drought going on, haven't you?
Well, we do. Today we've had quite a bit of rain, and that's been a real blessing. But we are in the midst of a drought, and things have been kind of tough for a lot of people around here. But I love San Antonio. Wouldn't trade it for the world. But we appreciate
it. My sister
so
used
much,
to live
so.
Outside of Austin, and I really love that part of the country. The people are so nice, and y'all got a barbecue place in that part of the country called Rudy's. that
yes,
first time I went there, I thought we was going to a service station, but that's some of the best barbecue I've ever had anywhere. So,
yeah, you're pretty much in the barbecue capital of Texas when you're in the Austin Lockhart area. So that's excellent barbecue. Come on back. I'll treat you to some.
Doctor, you got to watch it. I got a big appetite, and I'll bring Keith with me. I bet you can say, "Oh man, you got to go back to Tennessee." So,
no,
what do you
want
to share with us about your?
You.
Well, I appreciate
well,
that.
Let me tell you first a little bit about the Posse. We're a group of writers that met maybe 10 years ago, and we grouped together on Yahoo groups, and that's how we send our work back and forth. When I send an email to the Posse, everybody gets that same email, so we're able to chit-chat back and forth about our families, prayer requests, our venting days when we need to say something. So the Posse has been a real blessing to all of our lives. We met through American Christian Fiction Writers, which if any of your listeners are wanting to write Christian fiction, that's a great – ACFW.com is one of the best organizations out there that you can join to learn the craft of writing. Because it is a craft, you've got to learn it. My story is called Frayed. The hero in my story is a Vietnam vet. My story skips forward a few years from Connie and Darlene's and the rest of them because I don't do as much historical research as they do. But I lived through years in college of the Vietnam vets coming home and not being proud of what they've done and struggling with so much. And what we know and have labeled today as PTSD wasn't labeled back then. And they didn't
right.
even want to talk about where they had been and the things that they had done. So the hero in my story has a lot of struggles with that, and he meets a young lady that helps him learn that he has some redeeming qualities in him that God has put in the middle of all of our hearts. And he's blessed by it, and we end up with what we call HEA, happily ever after, for most of the people in our stories because we did write Christian romance. And we challenge you to read it.
Eileen's throwing down.
Yeah, lay down the gauntlet right here.
You, first. You go, Eileen.
Hey, there is a man in my church who reads every book I have ever written, and I said, "Do you know that these are romances, right?" And he said, "Yeah, I love them."
He does. My pastor's read all my books. He loves them.
Well, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't read a romance book because anyone that's been married for any length of time, and it sounds like some of you ladies have already had this happen with your husbands where they wasn't reading much before and they sort of changed with time. Any man that's been married for any length of time knows that part of the process of being married is change. And it's usually in the direction that the woman wants us to go, not in the direction that we think we should go. So,
there you go.
Well, only if the man or wife.
One of the good things for you would be that we wrote novellas, and so each book is about 20,000 words in length. So you can, you can handle that for one of us.
So I'm a fast reader anyway. I mean, I love to read. It's just finding the time to do it, and it's. I'm almost as busy as you guys. It's just I got the Blog Talk Radio show, and I stay gone on the road a week at a time and come in and got the radio show to do each week. And then I teach Sunday school at church. I play drums at church. And even sometimes they ask me to preach. So it's which I usually like to wait until the last minute to do that so I can't run and hide. So it's but the sitting down, that's why I was asking about the audio books because I found that's something that I can – download to an iPod. I've got it right there with me. It holds my place, and it's really a convenient way to be able to listen to things. And I know that there's getting more and more Christian work that's actually being published to audiobooks, and it's which we've had some of the main fictional authors that's been doing it for a while now, but there's getting to be more and more work into it, and so I really do hope that you guys look at extending into that. Normally this doesn't work, but actually I have every one of your microphones on. I thought it'd be kind of cool to kind of do a little roundtable thing up here and kind of fill in the gaps of what each of you thinks amongst yourself needs. Well, we still got one more section of the book. I'm about to mess up here. Kim, you're going to cover that other one. And also, I didn't ask you where you were calling from.
I'm in Central Kansas.
Well, that's a good flat place to be.
Actually, you'd be surprised if you were here. I'm not really in a flat spot. Everybody thinks Kansas is flat because that's to go through on Highway 70. That part's flat. The part I'm in actually is gently rolling hills, and it's just beautiful. So, anyway.
I couldn't resist. I've been all
here.
Across Kansas. I know that some of it does have a lot of hills to it and everything,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I just took a wild stab in the dark because the majority of Kansas is flat. So,
yeah, well,
is there corn growing in your area?
No, mostly wheat and alfalfa where we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was trying to pinpoint down my brain.
About another week.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway, I've interrupted you about three times. Go ahead and tell us about the other part of the story that you, I think it was Christian wrote this.
Yes, my daughter Christian wrote the final story. It's modern day. Her heroine is an auction specialist. She takes, you know, everything left from estates and organizes auctions, and which I thought was a very unique occupation. And then the hero is opening an antique store, and this is how their paths cross. Is actually, they have a fender bender and then come together at this auction. And the quilt that has been passed down through all of these generations is in the auction, but no one buys it because by now it's in just horrible shape. And the gentleman with the opening the antique store asks if he can take it in, to use it to just basically wrap around furniture, protect things that he's taking back to his store. He ends up giving this to his mother to restore. And the symbolism here, it, to me, was just so touching. You know, we look at our lives, and after years of struggle and conflict, we can feel as if we are just tattered and torn beyond all hope of being anything beautiful. But when we're placed into the master's hands, he can put us back together again, make each of those worn patches have meaning, and create a new kind of beauty out of our lives, which is what this woman did with the quilt. And it truly changes the heroine's view of herself and her life. As she sees this quilt transform, she realizes that perhaps her life can be transformed as well. So I just think it came together so beautifully. And I have to tell you, Joanna has 5 children. My daughter has 6.
Oh, wow.
And she works with handicapped, disabled adults. She has her master's degree in addictions counseling. Incredibly busy, talented young woman. And needless to say, I'm very proud of her. And it was just thrilled for me to be able to have her bring closure to this book, because I think she did a fabulous job.
She did an amazing, amazing job.
Yeah, beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
It must be really neat to have a family. Your dad wrote part of it, and then your daughter was, you know, came in because you weren't able to because of other contract obligations. I can't imagine what that would be like to have a family that could all work together on something like that. That has to be just really neat.
It is very special. I feel extremely blessed. There's no doubt about it.
So I've got all of you on at the same time, and I kind of mentioned this round table thing. Was there any time at this that you guys thought about, hey, this is just way too complicated, everybody's too far apart, we're just not going to do it?
Never.
Absolutely not. This is Eileen. Absolutely not.
Never.
Complicated, yes. But that's what you overcome, you know. The distance, because of the Internet, the distance doesn't always feel like we're so far apart because we can reach each other so quickly. And, yeah, it was a challenge because we've got 7 different voices and 7 different ideas. But the challenge to me is what made it even more special when it all came together, because we succeeded.
Yeah.
You guys did it.
That's right.
I'm so proud of you.
I think the biggest challenge was getting all of the details correct from story to make sure that, okay, if so-and-so's story is set in such and such a year, how old is this character now? If this child was 6 years old in this story and now he's an adult, and, you know, we had to make sure that we had all of the details and all the chronological things correct.
Mm-hmm.
And and had to make sure that everybody's eye color stayed consistent from story to story.
What Tim said, too, about, you know, that we did it, because what's been interesting to me through this whole process, we've been friends for 10 years, and this is a different relationship. This is a working relationship, and you know, we're not even just friends, we're sisters. And so it was okay to get a little frustrated. I don't understand what you're doing. Somebody fill me in. You know, we're sisters. You know, you just work through it, you get through it, and in the end, we have this beautiful book, and we're even closer than ever. We just, you know, God put us in each other's lives for a reason. And
you know, it's funny you mentioned Kim's family. You know, Kim is a writer, and her daughter is a writer, and her dad is a writer, and how unique that is to have so many members of that family, you know, in the writing and publishing. But actually, when I think of the posse, I think of us all as family anyway.
Yeah, most
definitely.
We
disown any of them.
Yeah, we know details of each other's lives before our families do. Sometimes we run to each other, and we're spread all over the United States. But, you know, they know things before my husband knows it sometimes.
So if I wanted to ask you guys questions about Keith, what he's doing wrong, you could probably all tell me, couldn't you?
Sure.
Messages from Joanna quite a bit. So.
Well, I said that because I know he's listening out there. He's probably waiting to see if something like this is going to come up, and he knows there's no telling what I might would come up with. I do have one question for you. With all you guys working together, it sounds like this is more of a support group for each other, and the writing is just a byproduct instead of it being you guys coming together with the goal of writing. I mean, I know you have to have a goal, and you have to set, you know, time frames, and there's the things that go along with any, you know, sort of something you want to complete. But it sounds like this is more where you guys are there for each other. Am I reading that wrong, or?
No, that's correct.
That's exactly,
I mean, really, it goes hand in hand. I think, and I really am hard-pressed to say which started first. Were we all there for each other first before, you know, we came together as writers? Or did we come together as writers first and then, oh, by the way, we're sisters too?
Yeah. You know, I think the writing came first because that gave us a purpose in coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take any time at all for the relationships to blossom far beyond critique partners.
That's right.
I really do believe that God handpicked each of us, brought us into this group for a specific reason. And I love each of these ladies. I did not grow up with sisters. These are the sisters that I prayed for as a little girl, and I'm so grateful for each of them.
Before we close out the show, I'd like to say something. We're meeting in Kansas next week, and Connie, you need to start brainstorming. What if a blogger that had a radio show, what if, and fill in the blank, we've got a whole new twist.
Oh, my. Let me think. What if there was a blogger who had a radio show and a whole bunch of women called in at the same time, and they coerced him into reading their book.
Yes.
Is there a nervous breakdown involved in this anywhere?
No. We can arrange that.
It's a page-turner.
Well, going into a part that I'm sure that I know from things that I've done that I felt it was heartfelt to do, you don't really look at it in this way, but is this something that's going to be profitable for you guys over time, or is this more of a vocation thing and you hope it, you know, I'm not even really sure how to put the question together, but you know where I'm trying to go with this. Is this something you guys should look at to make it, you know, benefit your family financially?
Well, that would be a nice side effect, yes.
Yeah,
initially, we thought it would be fun to do it to help fund what we call the posse retreat, because it is expensive for everyone to travel to Kansas. They come to me because I'm the central location. I'm just kind of in the middle of all of them. And while they're here, they don't have expenses, but they still have to get here. And it can be expensive, especially for our younger members who still have family at home. And for our older members who are retired and, you know, have living on a very fixed income. So at first when we decided to do it, it would be, wouldn't it be great if we could make enough money with this to fund the Posse Retreat? That would be my first dream for each of them. But if it could also benefit them even beyond that financially, I think that would be an absolute blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that will take some time. It's going to take more than one book to do that. But we have goals for that. So, you know, everything of value is worth working for, and we'll just keep plugging away.
We all also have our own solo, you know, projects that we're working on. Connie, you know, has things in the hopper. I just finished my solo novel, you know, so this isn't the only thing that we're doing.
Right.
But yeah, we're all, this is our dream, this is our passion, this is the career we want. So, yeah, of course we, you know, would love for it to be profitable. But, yeah, like Kim said, it started as just to get us to Kansas. So we'll see what God has in store for it.
Well, I was trying to think of a joke to go along with that. You have to forgive me how my mind works. I was sitting here thinking about Toto for some reason, but I don't know why.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't. No,
I mean, you guys are already picking on me here a little bit. I have to shoot back with something. So
I say when I get back to California, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
That's right.
Actually, Bill,
yeah,
I was going to ask you if
you were different.
I was going to ask
because
you
guys
were wearing ruby slippers.
Yeah, well, you're from so many different areas of the country, and whether we like to admit it or not, you know, we all talk a little different, our terminology is different, and it's amazing to me that doesn't seem to be something that holds you guys back at all with what you're doing.
No. Well, we
all start to sound like each other after a while.
Well, yeah, we do, and we pick on Jelena a lot.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's okay. Because she's the baby of the group.
Yeah, he's like our little sister.
Well, you guys are a pleasure to have on here with us tonight and everything. And anybody's got any questions or comments, all you have to do is push one on your phone. We've got a lot more people listening live tonight than what we normally do, so I'm trying to scan down through here and keep up with it. But anyone that has anything they'd like to ask or a comment or anything, all you have to do is push one on your phone. Most of our listeners comes from archives, and I shared that with Keith and his wife, you know, because he's been on before. We played some of their music. And I don't know if you've ever heard any of the songs that they do. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
she's very talented, and
yes,
and
she
Keith's
is.
Pretty good drummer.
She is.
Yep,
she is.
I've been trying to get a CD sometime with all the songs that she's written, where I can add them to the library we play on our show here, and so far I've not seen that yet. So you guys helped me a little bit to push her to get that done because. It, you know, it's like the thing with your stories. You know, if you don't put them down, they're not written. And it's the same thing with her songs. If she's not recording these things for other people to hear, it's not really, you know, doing the work that it's meant to do. So,
okay,
you
can do that. She can do that for you. She doesn't have anything else to do.
In your spare time.
We can talk Keith into eating ice cooking.
Uh-oh.
I can get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not even going to go there. So. Too many things came to mind, and I don't think that would be worked out well for me at all. So.
He's partial to my cooking, but the boys are good cooks, too.
Good. All right. Well, I do know that you guys are very busy. I know you're trying to work on, you know, selling a house and, you know, not sure exactly, you know, which direction you're going to go with the move and the work that you do in your church and everything. So, and as well as writing this song. So I know I was kind of picking on you a little bit. And you guys can't pick on us with our southern accents now. I mean, when you get ready to look at stuff old-timey, we're still kind of old-timey here compared to where you guys are. So, well, Missouri's not much ahead of us, but it's about the same. Y'all have anything else that you want to share? I don't see anybody pushing
one.
Okay.
I wanted to share something that I didn't hear anybody say about all the stories in the book. They all, they're Christian stories, but they all have a verse that, you know, it's a theme verse that you can really see throughout each story. It's at the beginning. When you read the book, it's at the beginning on the title page. And I think that, when people read the stories, I think the Christian fiction is meant to be inspirational. And, you know, when you write a Christian story, you want someone to be inspired. You want someone to feel like they got something out of it. You know, that they got maybe a blessing out of it, or maybe it helped them to see something in a different way, or just something inspirational. And I want to say this, too. One of the things that I enjoyed about the first book and every book after that Kim writes was that I had never read a fiction book that told someone how to be saved. You know, I mean, I've read books that have just a hint of Christian values in them, or maybe, you know, the characters talk about going to church or something like that. But after I read Kim's book, it was Waiting for Summer's Return, I couldn't put it down. I was washing dishes and putting dishes in the cupboard and holding the book in the other hand. And the thing that impressed me the most, it was a great story, but the thing that impressed me about it the most was I thought I could give this book to somebody who doesn't know Christ, and they would know exactly how to become born again. I mean, there's no question. And that really impressed me, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to contact her and tell her how much I loved that book, how much it really impressed me, because I thought, that's the kind of story I want to write. I want to write a story that somebody could get that much out of it. Somebody that doesn't know God could read that story and want to know more about him, at least. You know, even if they didn't become a Christian because of it, maybe it would plant a seed. And if you planted a seed, then, you know, maybe someone else can water it, you know, if they didn't get enough in the beginning, but at least you've planted a seed, and I think that says a lot.
Yeah, that's excellent, because in this day and time, we've seen how Hollywood has taken romance and perverted it into something that God never intended it to be. And as time goes on, I don't know if I'm just getting older and more aware, or if it's actually getting worse. But to me, it seems like it, in this day and time we live in, that there's so many attacks against our young people to try to measure up to something that's not real. When you get to thinking about romance and what's missing in relationships, and it's one of those things that is fantastic to have something that you can direct a young person to, or even, you know, someone that's had their life, you know, messed up because they've taken the medicine of what the world is saying, this is what romance and relationships is all about, and you're like, no, you know, and it's like you say, the seed can be planted, it can help turn a life around. And so I wanted to say how much I really appreciate, you know, you ladies for taking your time to I feel like it's a sort of a calling that you have in your life. It's more like a vocation than it is anything else. And I want to thank you for answering the call to do that. And again, I want to thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Well, like I say, the mics are still on. No one is pushing one here. Do y'all have anything else that you want to say before we close this thing up for tonight?
One of the things that you touched on about relationships, and of course, you know, we all write, you know, romance, you know, Christian romance, and, you know, we write those relationships, you know, the relationship between our characters the way God intended, but there's another relationship in these stories, and that's the relationship between our character and God. And we try to craft our stories and form our characters in such a way that the readers can really identify with something that this character is going through, whether it's like in my story, my character just felt very insignificant and unimportant, and certainly God wouldn't have any time for her or to listen to her prayer. And I know that there are people out there that feel that way. Darlene's story, she crafted a heroine who had a horrible relationship with her father, and therefore the thought of having a heavenly father just kind of brought up, you know, a bad image in her mind. She didn't want to think of God as her father, because her real father, her earthly father, was, you know, was a drunkard and an abuser, and so she had a hard time, you know, connecting with God. And we know that there are readers out there that feel that way. Eileen's story has a character who, you know, came through a very traumatic experience. And there are readers out there that have been through traumatic experiences. So we try to craft our characters in such a way that the reader can go, you know, I can put myself in the shoes of that character. I know what they're feeling. I know what they're, you know, what they're walking through. And that draws the reader into the story so much more effectively. And then we can minister to the reader and show them how they can have a relationship with God.
That's fantastic. It's one of those things that there needs to be more of. You know, in one sense, we think, you know, romance is something that should be private, shouldn't be talked about, and one of those things. But then you get to looking at, well, read the Song of Solomon. You know, it's clear romance fits when you get to thinking about the things of God. And if you can't comprehend those things, which I don't do very well, but if we can't realize that, if we try to put that in a box like it's all bad, and if we think that people are not going to look for something for entertainment away from just sitting and reading scripture from a Bible or listening to a Sunday school lesson or listening to a sermon, then we're fooling ourselves. When I did crime prevention education in law enforcement, you know, I tried to be real in the audience I was working with. I didn't try to just do the McGruff puppet thing and keep everything on a lighter note than what things are, because it didn't fit life. And one of the things about
that's
life
right.
is it's messy. And that's what I love about what I'm hearing about what you guys have done. Anything else?
Well, you know, Jesus used the vehicle of storytelling to reach people, because not everyone is inclined to listen to a sermon or to read scripture for themselves. But a lot of people will pick up a fiction book and read it, and if they can get the gospel through the storytelling, and Jesus did that. Jesus, you know, there were 33 accounts of in the Bible of Jesus using parables, you know, to, you know, get his point across. And so, if he was the first storyteller, we are just emulating our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the parables were there for people like me that's kind of slow. Because if I couldn't have something to visualize it with, I really couldn't get the big picture of what they were talking about. I'm like, you know, this thee and thou stuff, I'm kind of over my head, you know. But, you know, when you start making it pretty clear about harvest and, you know, the things that went along with the parables that were there, it's pretty, it makes it even someone like me can understand that. So, and it sounds like there again, of course, I think your audience is probably a little bit more intelligent than what I am, because just the detail, it sounds like you've went into putting this story together is, as more of this comes out, it's clear that this is a separate works, but it all jointly fits together like the quilt that you're talking about. And it's amazing that you ladies were able to do that.
Well, it was our joy.
I thought for a minute I didn't scare you guys off. One question I have to ask you. I know that some of you were scared to death to come on here tonight. Was it as painful as you thought it would be?
No. I had to start it out, so it was more painful for me.
Oh, now. I mean, it seems to me like there should be nothing more natural than having a woman talk on the telephone to somebody. I mean, you know, you just, no, I'm playing.
Oh,
he told me to say that. He said they're trying to call in right now saying, no, I didn't. Don't you put me in that spot.
How much did Keith pay you to say that?
Actually, I had came up with two or three little jokes that I was going to say that he was the one that told me, like, the reason it took 70 of you to write a book. It reminded him of how many Pollocks does it take to screw in a light bulb. And anyway, I told him I was not going to do that to him. So.
Gotta be careful. You'll end up a character in one of our books.
Yeah, I might end up one of those things you hear in the news laying on the side of a road ditch somewhere where Keaton hit me in the back of the head with a baseball bat, too. So. I'm sure Keith is like me. He gets himself in enough trouble. He don't need anybody to help him out. So.
Okay, well, ladies, listen, who's gonna name their next hero Bill in their story?
Actually, I think it's the next villain. He's going to be the villain.
Yeah, I thought it makes a better bad guy. Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you guys on. And if you got anything else you'd like to add, we're still going out live stream right now. I programmed it to be a little longer, so.
We need to say the name of the book and where you can get it.
Yes, please. That's a good idea.
It's called Threads of Time. It's available as an ebook on Amazon.com. And as Margie said, probably by the middle of June, or hopefully before the end of June, it'll be available in paperback on Amazon as well. Right now, you can get it for $2.99 as an ebook. And you can get that on Kindle or you can get Kindle for your iPod, Kindle for your computer. Is there anything else? Cell phone?
Yeah, you can get Kindle on your cell phone, too.
And it's a free app. So once you download the app, then you can put it on there, you know, for anybody that doesn't have a Kindle. And then I wanted Kim to tell what her latest book is, too.
All right, please.
Okay. Yeah, my most recent release is called Through the Deep Waters, and it's about a young woman named Ina who was raised in a brothel and wants to be looked upon with better favor than what her mother ever was, and her goal is to become a Harvey girl. For people who aren't sure what that is, Harvey girls were waitresses in the Fred Harvey-owned cafes that sprung up all along the Santa Fe Railroad, and becoming a Harvey girl was a real prestigious thing because there was quite the process to go through to be approved. And so that becomes her goal. She thinks she will finally be worthwhile if she can become a Harvey girl. And it's a story of redemption, a story of healing, of the difference that it can make when we realize that God loves us where we are and can bring healing to any of the really deeply embedded pains and regrets that we carry from the past. And it's available at any bookstore or any online purchasing site. So I hope people will enjoy it. The story is probably the deepest story of my heart that I've written to date. So it's a very special story to me.
Wow. Hey, I hope you guys really do look at doing the audio books. I know that there are several programs now that you can actually download for free that will take your voice and put it on in a digital format. And from what I found out from people that's doing songs, that's pretty much all you have to have is a digital format that can be uploaded and sold even through iTunes. So, and I know there's other book things like Audible and things like that where you can buy books and, you know, sell them and that's one of those things I hope you guys really look at doing. And, man, it sounds like y'all have got a lot going right now. Didn't somebody else have another book that they just released, too? Wasn't there someone else that had a book they just finished?
I just finished writing mine, but Connie also has a book out that she – well, Connie has – what do you have, Connie, 4 books out right now? 3, 4?
I have a three-book proposal, three-book series that I'm working on. I finished book one. I'm starting book two of that series. And I also, you know, just wrote up a synopsis that Posse doesn't even know this. I just wrote a synopsis for another proposal that I sent to my agent a couple of days ago and waiting to hear back something about that. that'll just be fun.
And Margie's first fiction book is coming out when, Margie?
My nonfiction. I've got fiction's already been out for a little over a year.
Yeah.
And my first nonfiction should be coming out, well, hopefully within the next couple of months. I just was talking to my agent about that today. So.
Wow.
Anyway.
Now, do y'all have websites that you'd like to share where people can go in and keep up with what you're doing?
I think most of us do.
We do. I think we all have a website.
Well, if you wouldn't mind one at a time just sharing what your website is, so if people want to keep, you know, follow and keep up with your work, what you're doing, that'd be fantastic. Because I say most of our listeners come into the archives, and we got people that listen from all over the world. So, you know, we definitely want to give them information where they can keep up with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Should we go alphabetically?
Y'all can pick one person to select who goes first and go down, or you can just however you'd like to do it.
Yeah, Kim, take it away.
Mine is my author name, KimVogelSawyer.com. Connie?
Mine is ConnieStevensWrites.com, and Stevens is spelled with a V, not a P-H.
Eileen?
Did you say Eileen?
Yes, I did. She's watching the Spurs again. What's your website, honey?
It's EileenKey.net.
Darlene?
DarleneWells.com.
Margie?
MarjorieVotter.com.
Delana?
And mine is Joanna Franklin. That's J-A-L-A-N-A Franklin.com.
Just sticking on her.
I'm sorry for laughing.
I'll see you next week. Yeah, neither my dad nor Christian have writer websites, but you can Google their names on Facebook and find them there.
Yeah, we're all on Facebook as well, yeah.
And the publishing,
right.
It's Wings of Hope Publishing on Facebook. That's right.
Oh, you do have your, okay, that's your publishing company. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So you
all
can,
right, we're down to about the last
the
few minutes.
Comes out.
I'm sorry?
I said, so they can keep up with when the next book comes out.
Well, hopefully we can get you guys to come back again when the next book comes out, and then I'm hoping I don't turn out to be a villain in your next book, but I got a funny feeling I can live for that to happen. So.
You'll only know if you read them.
Oh. Wow. Spoken like a woman, I should know that that's going to be coming at me. So. Keith warned me, he says, you got that many women on there, you're in trouble, and I'm like, I know it, so.
Well, we all depend on Kim's husband when we all come to Kansas, you know, each June. Her poor husband has to put up with all of us all at once.
For a week.
That sounds like a good time for a fishing trip or something.
Yeah.
John can hold his own.
Oh, yes, he can.
He does.
Well, I want to thank all y'all for being with us on the show tonight, and I hope that you had fun doing this, and then I would like to have you back when you release your next work, and we got about 4 minutes left. Does anyone have anything else they want to say?
You know what? Can I just say thank you to readers?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that okay? Just thank to those of you that have tuned in and you are readers, thank you so much, because what we do would be pointless if it wasn't for that person at the other end of the book opening it up, getting involved in the stories that we've created, and getting involved with those characters. Really, really appreciate our readers. Thank you so much for taking
Absolutely.
The time with us.
Definitely.
And we love to hear from readers.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, well, I want to thank you guys again, and we'll be back with you next week on your place, and hope you all enjoyed the show. Y'all have a good night.
Right.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.